This is chapter 12 from Madhya Leela, narrating the Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in Jagannath Puri. This is cleansing of the Gaudiya temple. This would happen every year, few days before Rath Yatra. Because when Lord Jagannath rides in the Rath Yatra, he goes from his temple to Gaudiya. Gaudiya represents Vrindavan, and the temple represents Dwarka, or sometimes they say Kurukshetra. When he's ordinarily, day to day, Jagannath temple is in the Aishwarya mood. Lakshmi's there with Jagannath. Lakshmi's worship with Jagannath. And Balaram and Subhadra. Subhadra's living in Dwarka. She appears over there in Dwarka. She actually appears as a daughter of Rohini and Vasudeva in Mathura, but she don't really see much of her activities there, but she makes her presence known in Dwarka. So Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra are there in Dwarka, with Lakshmi and the Mandir. So the temple represents Dwarka. But as you know, during the solar eclipse, the solar eclipse of Kurukshetra, so then Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra, they got on a chariot and they came to the solar eclipse from Dwarka. And there they met the Brijvasis, Radha and Krishna and Gopis. So once they were there, when Krishna was there, then especially Krishna, the Gopis met Krishna. Of course, Balaram's Gopis also met Balaram. And they asked, or they pleaded and they begged and they cried, please, you get on your chariots and you come to Vrindavan. So the Rath Yatra time, during Rath Yatra time, unlike the rest of the year, the Jagannath temple represents Kurukshetra. And getting on the chariots and going from Kurukshetra, and Jagannath temple represents Kurukshetra, the Rath Yatra, and Gaudiya represents Vrindavan. It's the gardens of Vrindavan. So the whole mood of Rath Yatra is the gopis dancing and leading Krishna and Balaram, of course Subhadra is there also, Krishna and Balaram from Kurukshetra back home, back to Vrindavan. So before Jagannath and Balaram arrive, or say Brajendra Nanda and Krishna, with Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya saw Jagannath as Brajendra Nanda and Shamasundar Krishna. So the mood was Radharani cleaning the garden for Krishna. Lord Chaitanya is in Radhabhav. He's in deep mood of Radhabhav. So he's cleaning his Gaudiya, because his Lord is going to come and stay there for 7 days, I think. Then there's Ultarath, where he returns back to the main temple. So this chapter is about the whole cleansing pastime and how all the devotees associate with the Lord. Sri Gaudiya Mandiram Atma Vrinde Samarjayan Shalantak Sri Gora Swachita Vachitalam Uchulam Cha Krishna Vesho Payakam Chakara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed and cleansed the Gaudiya temple with his devotees and associates. In this way he made it as cool and bright as his own heart, and thus he made the temple a fitting place for Lord Sri Krishna to sit. Jaya Jaya Sri Gaura Chandra Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Gaura Chandra, Nityananda, Advaita, and all the devotees of Mahaprabhu. Jaya Jaya Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktagan Shakti Deya Kari Jaina Chaitanya Varnan. All glories to devotees of Mahaprabhu, headed by Srivas Thakur. I beg their power so I can properly describe Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shakti Deha, he's asking them to give the power. Purve Dakshina Haite Prabhu Jabayaila Tanre Milita Gajapati Utkantita Haila Utkantita. It's great eagerness, great anxiety. So when Mahaprabhu returned from South India, Maharaj Pratap Rudra, the king of Orissa, was very anxious to meet him with Kantita Bhav. Katak haite patri dila sarva bhumatani prabhu ragya haya jari dekhi bare jai. King Pratap Rudra sent a letter from his capital, Katak, to Sarvam Bhattacharya, entreating him to attain the Lord's permission so he could go see him. Very interesting. It says here that the king lived at Cuttack. And even up until recent days, even though there's a house here on the main road, it's called the House of the King, Gajapati, and Gajapati Raj, but he always stayed in Cuttack. Even to this day, the king, the main palace of the king of Orissa, the king of Puri or whatever it was, he's in Cuttack, same as 500 years ago. The king of the Gajapati, Dev Raj or whatever it is, he only comes here during Rath Yatra time, basically. Usually all the time he's in Cuttack. Bhattacharya Likila Prabhur Agena Haila Punarapi Rajatanre Patripataila. Replying to King Pratiparudra's letter, Sarvam Bhattacharya wrote that Mahaprabhu had not given his permission. After this, the king wrote him another letter. The king is very anxious to meet Lord Chaitanya, but Lord Chaitanya doesn't even reply. Prabhur Nikatayachi Jata Bhaktagan Morala Gitana Sabari Kariha Nivedan. In this letter, the king requested Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Please ask all the devotees associated with Mahaprabhu to submit this petition to them on my behalf. So now, it's interesting. First, he wrote a letter to Lord Chaitanya, and it was rejected. And then he said, well, let me write a letter to the devotees. It's hard to get direct to the prime minister. Let me go through the ministers. So the ministers of the king are maybe more merciful. Se sabha dayalu mori hanasadai mora lagi prabhupade kariba vinay. His was his letter. This is a letter from Pratiparudra, king. If all the devotees associated with Mahaprabhu are favorably disposed toward me, they can submit my petition to the lotus feet of the Lord. Tan sabara prasade mile Sri Prabhupai, Prabhu Kripa Vinamora, Rajanahi Bhai. By the mercy of all the devotees, one can attain the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Without the Lord's mercy, my kingdom does not appeal to me. He's very attached. He was saying, if I don't get the mercy of the Lord, then what's the use of my kingdom? Jari Mori Kripana, Karibe Gorahari. Rajya Chari Logi Hoya Hoyvadvi Kari. He says, if Gaurahari Mahaprabhu not show me mercy, I'll give up my kingdom and become a beggar and go door to door begging. He says, a yogi. He says, I'll become a yogi. Rajya Chari Yogi Hoyvadvi Kari. He says, Rajya means my kingdom, I'll reject it. Chari, I'll just reject it and renounce it and walk away from my whole kingdom. I'll become a yogi, a vairagi, renunciate. Then I'll go door to door doing bhikshu, vikari. Like we hear this, Gaura Govinda Swami tells us how Krishna becomes a beggar. He has to take sannyas. Krishna has to take sannyas and beg for Radharani's prem. There's a whole long, very long Ariyan Bhajan describing that. Radharani's in Man, she's unfavorable mood, she doesn't want to meet with Krishna. So then he doesn't know how to break her Man. It's called Ahoituki Man. Man without a cause. She's sulking for no reason. He can't figure it. Krishna hasn't stood Radharani up, and he hasn't come late or been caught with some other gopi or anything, any rival gopi. She's just, for whatever reason, she's not happy with Krishna. Called Ahoituki Man. No cause. Just giving the silent treatment. Giving the good sauce. So then Krishna met with Mrinda Devi and said, what can I do? He said, listen, if you're willing to follow my instructions, I can help give you a way to break Radharani's Man. So Mrinda Devi said, if you're willing to follow whatever I say, then I can help you break Radharani's man. So then Krishna said, yes, das was me. I surrender. Shadimam tvam prapanam. Shadimam tvam prapanam. I surrender unto you. Please instruct me. So he said, listen, Krishna, you have to become a yogi. You have to become a prem bhikari. You have to beg for prem. You have to beg for Radharani's prem. He said, how can I do that? So then you have to become a yogi. First of all, you have to cut your hair off. You have to become mundi. Cut my hair. Yes, you have to cut your hair. Become a yogi. Renunciate. So Krishna cut his hair. And you have to get rid of this Pitambara Dhoti. This will never do. Pitambara Dhoti is... You have to wear a tiger skin. They took off the yellow dhoti and gave him a tiger skin. And then Ptolemy said, no, this Ordva Pundra Tilak, this is no good. This Tilak, you have to put three lines like this. Yogi Baba, Shankar Tilak, horizontal Tilak. So he did that. And your body, this blue color body, it's too much like a rain cloud. And you should rub ashes from the crematorium all over your body. So he rubbed all the ashes on his body. And now you need one jolly. You need one bag, begging bag. So he had one bag over his shoulder to collect alms, roti or whatever. And then he had one din-din, damru drum. Shiva drum. It's called damru. It's got two little marbles on the ends. So then he said, yes, now you look like a yogi. Now you're in a suitable position to beg. And Radharani will never understand who you are. You've lost all your identifying features. No more mukut, no beautiful long curly hair, no yellow dhoti, no vamshi, no murli. The murli is replaced by a damru. And your Pitambara Dhoti, which is your distinctive characteristic, has been replaced by a tiger skin. And your Maramukut and your Pagri has been replaced by Mundi, shaved head. And so she can't. And your Lagudi, means your cowherding sticks, called Lagudi. It's been replaced by a Joli, shoulder bag. Well, there's no way she can really tell that who you are. So now I'll teach you one song. And she taught him one song. Vrindadevi taught him one song. And so he was going around singing this song. It was the glories of Radharani. Radharani is the greatest. Radharani is the greatest devotee. There's no one with love like Radharani. Radharani is the greatest devotee. There's no one like with love like Radharani. So he's wandering around Barsana, tikka-tikka-da, announcing to everyone. Radharani, everyone said, oh, this Yogi Baba, who is this? Yogi Baba. So the news got around that there's some Yogi Baba is in madman type of Shaivite, some type of Shaivite Yogi Baba wandering around. Radharani's greatest devotee and love is greater than anyone's. And then Radharani is some Yogi Baba, some sannyasi beggar. He's begging, going here and there, chanting your glories. She said, really? Shaivite chanting my glories? So she said, maybe he comes to my house so I can see him. So finally he came to her house. Playing the damru with great enthusiasm. And chanting his little song he learned from Vrindadevi. Radharani is the greatest devotee. No one has love like Radharani. And then Lita's. And then he said, he was begging and he was chanting like this. Beggars, when they come to the door and Braj, these babas and yogis and babas, they do their what's called madukari. Madukari means begging for some roti or some atta or some roti or something. So they usually sing some song. They sing Rade Rade Maya, Rade Rade, Rade Rade, Rade Rade. Or sometimes they just come in playing kartal. So Krishna was like the tradition of the beggars and babas. He was begging. But it's always quite usual for someone to sing some glories of Krishna or Radharani. So this sannyasi yogi baba, he was singing Radharani's greatest devotee. No one has love it's like Radharani's love. Radharani went out to see him and he said... So she said, she came out with some rotis. Radharani carried some rotis in her hand to put in his joli. And he said, you open your joli, Yogi Baba, Sannyasi Baba, Sannyasi Thakur, here are some rotis for you. My mother made these rotis. He said, no, I don't want rotis. You don't want rotis. And what do you want? So no, and then she went and she got some flour, because sometimes they like dry. It's called sukkah bog or something. I think it's called sukkah bog. They get atta, or amnaya, it's called amnaya, I think. They just take atta, they want to make their own rotis, they don't want anything. They just want atta, flour. So she came with 1 kilo of flour. You take 1 kilo. No, no, I don't want flour. She thought, well, maybe you want some milk. No, she came with milk. No, I don't want milk. Maybe gore. She came with gore. I don't want gore. She said, what, Baba, what is this? You're a very strange Baba. What are you begging? What are you begging for? She said, I am just begging for your man. I want you to please donate your man. Give me your man. Give me your prem. Your man prem. Because man is a type of prem. Love and separation. Man prem. Please give me your man. And then Radharani was... When the yogi Baba said that, she said, how does this person know about all this? And she looked at the yogi Baba, and then Krishna was looking at her, and then she understood behind all those crematorium ashes, behind all the crematorium ashes, and this bald head, and this tiger skin, and this Damru was actually Shyamasundar, Vijendra Nandan, Gopinath. So that was the... That was the end of that story. But the point is, it's related to this verse because it says, Bhikkhari means beggar. So King Pratyabhruja is saying that if I cannot attain this shelter and darshan the Lord, then I'll become a Bhikkhari and I will beg from door to door. So it's quite on the point. Lord Krishna also became a sannyasi during Krishna Leela. Of course, he became a sannyasi in Gaur Leela, that's obvious. So that Krishna who became a sannyasi is now a sannyasi, and that sannyasi, now the king is going to become a sannyasi if he can't meet Lord Chaitanya. Vatacharya patri deki chintita han bhaktagana pashagela se patrilan. When the Vatacharya received this letter, he became very anxious. He then took the letter and went to the devotees of the Lord. Sabare miliya kahila Raja Vivaran Piche Se Patri Sabare Karaila Darshan. Sarvabhauma Acharya met all the devotees and described King Pratyabhruja's desire. Then he presented a letter to all of them for inspection. Patri Deki Sabaraman Haila Vismai Prabhu Pade Gajapatira Eta Bhakti Hai. Upon reading the letter, everyone was astonished to see that King Pratyabhruja had so much devotion for the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. Because generally we don't find that wealthy people, prestigious people are very much interested in religious activities. So it's quite impressive. Sabe kahi prabhu tanre kabo na milibai. Ami sabha bahi jari dukha se manibe. Devotees gave their opinion, and the devotees said, Mahaprabhu will never meet the king, and if we requested him to do so, the Lord would surely feel very unhappy. Sarvabhama kohi sobe chala ekabar milite na kahibe kahiba raja vyavahar. Sarvabhama Bhattacharya then said, we shall go at once again to the Lord. We shall not request him to meet the king. Rather, we shall simply describe the good behavior of the king. He's very diplomatic. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was quite senior. He was a guru of the king of Puri. And he was a great logician. He was a Naya pandit. Pandit and Naya. And he became converted. He was actually in Mayavadi. He became converted to Gaudiya Vaishnavism by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So he's using his clever logic. He's using logic. Well, let's see. If we can't go directly because the Lord has already refused, then we'll try to attract the attention of the Lord by describing the good qualities of the king. And then it's called beating around the bush. We'll beat around the bush for a while, and then Lord Chaitanya says, oh, really? You have such good qualities? Oh, well, I should meet him. By describing the king's good qualities, Sarvabhauma is proposing that he will create a desire in the Lord to meet such a qualified, good person who has all these good qualities. So will it work or not? Ete bali sabe gela Mahaprabhu stan kahete unmukha sabe nakahe vachan. Having thus reached a decision, everyone went to the place of Mahaprabhu. There, although ready to speak, they could not utter a word. Lord Chaitanya had such prabhav, such influence and energy that they hatched this plan. All the devotees, the dayalu, compassionate devotees, to help this great devotee Prataparudra meet the Lord Chaitanya. They said, yes, yes, a good idea. We will go and describe all the qualities. And when they got before Lord Chaitanya, they became tongue-tied. They became frozen. They couldn't say anything because they knew they were trying to pull something over Lord Chaitanya. They were trying to fool him. It's actually a little bit cheating type. So they were a little nervous. They couldn't even speak. Prabhu kai ki kahite sabara agaman tekiya kahite chaha nakaha ki karan. When they arrived in Mahaprabhu's place, Mahaprabhu said, why have you all come? What have you come here to say, all of you? I see that you want to say something, but you are not speaking. What is the reason? Ki karan? Ki bolche? Ki na bolche? Why aren't you speaking? Ki karan? What's the reason for this? Nityananda kahe? So Balaram is a little more powerful. Nityananda is Balaram, so he has a little more power. He's older also. Nityananda kahe tamai chahi nivedete na kahi le rahite nari kahite bhaya chite. Nityananda then said, we want to tell you something, but we cannot stay without speaking. We are still very much afraid to speak. Yogya tamaisab chahi nivedete tamana milele raja chahi yogi hoite. Nityananda said, we want to submit something before you that may or may not be befitting. The matter is this. Unless he sees you, the king of Arista will become a mendicant. So Nityananda got right to the point. Didn't try to glorify. Of course, that's a glorification in one sense. Kane mudralai muni haiva bikari rajya boga nahi chitte vinagora hari. Nityananda continued, King Prataparudra has decided to become a beggar mendicant and accept the sign of a mendicant by wearing an ivory earring. He does not want to enjoy his kingdom without seeing the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. Dekhibas samukha chandra nayana bariya daribasa parapadma ridaya tulia. The king also expressed his desire to see the moon-like face of Mahaprabhu to his eyes' full satisfaction. He would like to raise the lotus feet of the Lord to his heart. Wow. He's really demanding here. He wants to see the Lord eye to eye, and he wants to hold the Lord's feet on his chest. Yadyapi shuniya prabhur komala hayaman tarapi bahire kai nishtura vachan. Hearing all these statements, Mahaprabhu's mind was certainly softened. But externally, he wished to speak some harsh words. Tomas sabara icha e amarilan rajake milaha ihan kataketi ghiya. Mahaprabhu said, I can understand that all you desire to take me to Katak to see the king. Paramartha takuka loke karibe nindan loke rahudamodara karibe bartsan. Mahaprabhu said, what to speak of the spiritual advancement? All the people will blaspheme me. And what to speak of all the people? Damodar will chastise me. Tomas sabara agyaya ami namile rajare damodara kahe jabe militabe tanre. I shall not meet the king at the request of all the devotees, but I shall do so if Damodar will give his permission. Purport. From a spiritual point of view, a sannyasi is strictly forbidden to see materialistic people, especially a king counting pounds, shillings, and pence. Sannyasi and king should be always abominable. Sannyasi is always subjected to public criticism. A small part fault on his part is taken seriously by the public. Actually, people expect sannyasi to preach and not take part in any social or political matters, like marriages. If a sannyasi is subject to public criticism, his preaching will not be fruitful. It so happened that while the Lord was taking his disciples at that time, the devotee Damodar Pandit was present. Damodar Pandit was a faithful devotee and a staunch lover of Mahaprabhu. When there was anything that might touch or taint the character of the Lord, Damodar Pandit would immediately point it out, not even considering the exalted position of the Lord. It said, fools rush in where angels dare not. Mahaprabhu wanted to point out to Damodar Pandit's foolishness in coming forward to criticize the Lord. This is why the Lord stated that Damodar would give him permission, he would go see the king. There is deep meaning in the statement, for it is sworn that Damodar should not dare criticize the Lord anymore, for it is not befitting his position as a devotee of the Lord. Mahaprabhu was considered the guide and spiritual master of all the devotees living with him. Damodar Pandit was one of them, and the Lord rendered Damodar a special favor by warning him to avoid criticizing him any further. A devotee or disciple should never attempt to criticize the Lord or his representative, the spiritual master. Damodara kahitumi swatantra ishvar kartavya kartavya sava tamara gochara. Damodar immediately replied, the Mahaprabhu replied, my Lord, you are fully independent, supreme Godhead. Everything is known to you. You know what is possible or permissible and what is not permissible. Amikon kutra jiva tamaki biridiba apani mili batanre tahau deikiba. I am merely an insignificant jiva, so what power do I have to give directions to you? By your own personal choice, you will meet with the king. I shall see it. Raja tomare sneha kare tumi sneha vash tanra snehe karabe tanre tomara parash. Damodar continued, the king is very much attached to you and you are feeling affectionate and love toward him. Thus I can understand by virtue of the king's affection for you, you will touch him. Parasha. Yadapi ishvara tumi parama swantantra tadapi sabhava ihau prema para tantra. Although you are the supreme personality of Godhead and are completely independent, still you are dependent on the love and affection of your devotees. That is your nature. So we'll stop there. This is an interesting point that's being made here, that although the Lord is swatantra, he's completely independent. He's independent, he's also dependent. So actually, someone might say, this is a fault. But it's not a fault. It's actually an ornament. It's a bhushanam. It's an alankar, an ornament, bhushanam. Because if we say God is the supreme being or the absolute truth, asam murdva, no one's equal to him and no one's equal above him, asam murdva. Then if God is supremely independent, he must be supremely dependent also. Otherwise it would be a limitation. You say, yes, God is only independent, but he's not dependent. It would be a limitation, he wouldn't be complete. Vri Svatantra is also dependent, and it's dependent on the affection and love of his devotees. That causes him even to give up his independence. But independent means no one controls you, no one orders you, no one moves you. But when you're dependent, it means someone can control you, someone can order you. So because the Lord's controlled by the love and affection of his devotees, then he gives up his independence and follows their orders. Oh, massage my feet. Oh, paint my feet. Oh, brush my hair. And all these things, Radharani commands Krishna like a servant. Well, this is a beauty. It's one of the beauties of the Lord. He becomes so submissive to his devotees. Especially that mood is in Krishna. You don't find this in Ram very much. He's very much independent, Maryada avatar. You don't find him so much serving his devotees. When there's any threat to his independent position, he's willing to even throw away his wife. He was a ruler of Ayodhya when he returned from rescuing Sita from Lanka. Then he went, assumed the kingdom as the lord of Ayodhya. And some Dobiwala, his wife stayed overnight in somebody's house and came back the next day. And Dobiwala was saying, what is this? Where are you? Oh, anyway, what's the big deal? So what, you think I'm like Ram? that you go to some other man's house, I'm going to take you back. You think I'm like Ram? Sita was away for 1 year in Ravana's place, and he took her back. I'm not like that. If a woman is 1 day outside the man's house, she should be rejected. She's no longer chaste to that husband. So Ram was in disguise. He had disguised himself, and he was moving around like a spy to hear what the citizens said about him. As soon as he heard that criticism from a dhobi, then he told his wife, he said, okay, Jao. He said, but Ram, I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant. How can you? No, you go. So he didn't think about serving his wife. He wanted to maintain his independent position. I'm the independent king. King is above all suspicion. The king can do no wrong. So I don't want to be criticized. So he's willing to, he's ready to sacrifice his most beloved consort and devoted, faithful and chaste wife just because of public opinion, vox populi. But Krishna, he'll do anything for his devotees. No, the gopis of Braj and Gokul, the gopis who clapped their hands, the elderly gopis who clapped their hands and Krishna was 2 years old. They say, Krishna, if you dance for us, we'll clap our hands. If you dance, then we'll give you a ladu. So they would clap their hands and Krishna would dance around and then they would give him a ladu. Then Nanda Baba would say, oh, Krishna, please, you bring my shoes. And so Krishna put his chapels on his head and carry Nanda Maharaj's chapels. And then he could do that because he could carry. Then Nanda Maharaj playing a trick. He said, there's a big board there, a big plank. You pick up that plank and bring it over here. Then baby Krishna, baby Gopal, Bal Gopal, not so much Bal, but Bal Gopal, little boy, he went over there and he tried to pick up the board. It was beyond, it was too heavy for him. So the person who's holding up all the universes and all the planets, he can't lift his board, he's dependent. So he bends down, oh. And it's too heavy, but he doesn't want to say, oh, Daddy, oh, Nanda Baba, I can't lift it, it's too heavy, you come and get it. He doesn't want to admit that he's defeated, that it's too heavy for him. So when he tries and he fails, baby Krishna, Bal Gopal, he can't lift this wooden board. So then he just lets it, he goes, and he just starts slapping his arms like this, hitting his sides and flapping his arms like, oh. He's like frustrated, this board is too heavy for me. And then Nanda Baba laughs, and Yashoda laughs, Rohini and Ambika Kalinda. Everyone laughs and enjoys the childhood antics of Bal Gopal and Gokul. So the speciality of the Lord. So we can continue tomorrow by the Lord's grace to narrate the wonderful glories of the Lord and his devotees.